Welcome to Bible Chapter Every Day. I'm Matthew. Our chapter today is Amos 5. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to truly please you in everything in our lives. Help us to see where we're still going our own way instead of living righteously, instead of treating other people as you want us to treat them, loving them. We pray this through Jesus. Amen. Amos 5. Hear this word that I am going to intone over you as a lament, O house of Israel. Virgin Israel has fallen and will not rise again. She is deserted on her land. There is no one to raise her up. For thus says my Lord Yahweh, the city that marches out with 1,000 will only have 100 left. And the one that marches out with 100 will only have 10 left for the house of Israel. For thus says Yahweh to the house of Israel, seek me, so that you may live. But do not seek Bethel, or go to Gilgal, or cross over to Beersheba, for Gilgal will certainly go into exile, and Bethel will come to disaster. Seek Yahweh, so that you may live, so that he will not break out like a fire against the house of Joseph, and it will devour, with none to quench it, for Bethel. Ah, you who turn justice into wormwood, and hurl righteousness to the ground, the one who made the Pleiades and Orion, and who turns deep darkness into the morning, and darkens day into night, the one who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the surface of the earth, Yahweh is his name. The one who makes destruction flash upon the fierce, so that destruction comes upon the fortification. They hate the one who reproves in the gate, and they abhor the one who speaks honestly. Therefore, because you trample on the poor, and you take a grain tax from them, you built houses of dressed stone, but you will not live in them. You built vineyards of delightfulness, but you will not drink their wine. For I know your transgressions are many, and your sins are numerous, you foes of the righteous, those who take a bribe, and those who push aside the poor ones in the gate. Therefore, whoever has insight will keep silent in that time, for it is a time of evil. Seek good, and not bad, in order that you may live. And so Yahweh, the God of hosts, will be with you. As you have said, hate evil, and love good, and establish justice in the gate. Perhaps Yahweh, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. Therefore thus says Yahweh, the God of hosts, my Lord, in all of the public squares there will be wailing, and in all of the streets they will say, alas, alas. They shall call the farmers to mourning and to wailing, to those who are skilled in lamentation. And in all of the vineyards there will be wailing, because I will pass in your midst, says Yahweh. Alas, those who desire the day of Yahweh, why is this for you the day of Yahweh? It will be darkness and not light. It will be as if a man fled from a lion, and a bear met him, or he went into the house and leaned his hand against the wall, and a snake bit him. Is not the day of Yahweh darkness, and not light, and pitch dark, with no brightness in it? I hate, I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your assemblies. Yes, even if you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them, and I will not look at the fellowship offerings of your fattened animals. Remove from me the noise of your songs, and I do not want to hear the melody of your harps. But let justice roll on like the water, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Did you bring to me sacrifices and offerings these 40 years in the desert, O house of Israel? And you will take up Sikoth, your king, and Kaiwan, your images, the star of your gods, which you made for yourselves, and I will deport you beyond Damascus, says Yahweh, the God of hosts, is his name. Well, that's the reading. Let's dig in. This chapter started with, "Hear this word," which should be familiar to us now. After the repetition in chapters 1 and 2 of the "for 3 transgressions and for 4, chapter 3 started with, "Hear this word." And chapter 3 emphasized that God was in control, and he was telling them ahead of time that punishment is coming. He mentioned the altars of Bethel, where they had the golden calf, and he mentioned the fancy houses of the rich that were going to be destroyed. And then in chapter 4, he also started with, "Hear this word," and it was addressed to the cows of Bashan, which he goes on to explain, that's the wealthy women who just wanted things, and they didn't care that people were going to be oppressed and harmed so that they could get those things that they wanted. God tells them that not only will they soon have nothing, they will be taken away to captivity with hooks. God says he has tried to get them to listen by sending a series of lesser disasters, but since they haven't listened, they should get ready for God himself to come. Now, this chapter starts with, "Hear this word," for the third time, and he says he's going to sing a lament for Israel. He says they're going to lose 90% of their warriors in the war that is coming. He says Bethel won't be any help to them, that place where they had the golden calf. They will go into exile. He says they didn't like justice and righteousness. In verse 10, he says, "They hate the one who reproves in the gate." And it's probably talking about the city elders who would act as judges in the gate. And these people, they didn't want just and righteous judges. They wanted to take advantage of poor people, the poor and the helpless, so that they could get what they wanted. So God says, they will not get to stay in the land and enjoy these things that they have gotten by oppressing the poor. He tells them to repent and seek justice, and perhaps, maybe, God will be kind to the few who are left. He calls them the remnant of Joseph. We've seen him call the northern kingdom of Israel Ephraim, because Ephraim was the strongest tribe. Joseph was the father of Ephraim and Manasseh, so this is just another way to refer to the northern kingdom of Israel. God says that when this disaster comes on them, people will be crying out loud everywhere, in the streets and in the fields. And he asks if they really want the day of Yahweh. They think they want it, but they think it's going to make things better. He says to them, the day of Yahweh for them will be darkness rather than light. God is not pleased with them, so when he comes, he will be against them rather than for them. He says he hates their religious activities, their gatherings and their offerings and their songs. What God wants is justice and righteousness. And he goes back in their history to when they were in the desert 40 years on their way to the Promised Land, and he asks if they were really sacrificed into Yahweh then. He says they brought their own gods along for them to worship. So he says they will be deported far to the north. And now for a deeper dive. Are we pleasing God? What does God want from us? It's natural for us to want to please ourselves and to want to appease God so that he'll give us what we want. It's natural to try to figure out how to manipulate God. We know God is powerful and he can bless us, so we try to figure out what we can do in our lives to please God enough so that he'll bless us with what we really want. In other words, it's natural to treat the relationship with God as a business deal. I give you this, and you give me that. And this chapter shows it doesn't work that way. He says, if they repent, perhaps Yahweh will be gracious to them. You don't force God to give you what you want. You don't trick God into giving you what you want. You don't bargain with God into giving you what you want. They thought that their religious activities were enough to get God on their side. Do we think our religious activities are what God wants? I go to church on Sunday, I sing songs, I donate money, I pray, I read my Bible. God should be happy and he should bless me. But God says here, he wants righteousness and justice. And he doesn't want them worshiping other gods. He wants this to affect their whole lives. In the New Testament, James seems to be thinking along the same lines when he says in James 1:27, "Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to look after orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained by the world." So, are we religious, or do we have true, pure, and undefiled religion? Scripture quotations are from the Lexham English Bible. Copyright 2012, Logos Bible Software. Lexham is a registered trademark of Logos Bible Software.